We've been going through on Wednesday nights looking at our pursuit of perfection. And as the Bible says, be perfect. It sounds like an impossibility, but it's not. We're going to identify the word perfect and see what it means. Hebrews 6, again, let's read verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Turn over a few pages there to Hebrews 12. And notice what he says here. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And in Hebrews 12, notice he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You feel weary sometimes? I know I do. Okay, so now tonight we're moving ahead here and looking at, last week we looked at laying aside rebellion, and we saw rebellion comes back to really an attitude. Now as we see here, we ought to lay aside what's called false pride in the Word of God. Okay, now in your notes there, notice I have God's plan for us is that we be perfect. The instruction is, let us go on into perfection. As we struggle with this and try to bring our behavior into line, we learn that first of all, God is looking for a perfect heart. Okay, we read this before. But 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. This is well within our reach. We can have a perfect heart toward the Lord. As we do this, we can greatly improve our behavior toward perfection. Isn't that amazing to think that God is looking for somebody that he can show himself strong through? He can work through. You may say, it's just me. That's all he wants. Just one person. As he says there in Ezekiel, looking for someone. Okay, now, there are sins that has easily beset us, as we saw in Hebrews 12. They keep us from having that perfect heart toward God. We're to lay aside these asides so that we can successfully run our race that God has assigned, as we read that already. Okay, notice the next paragraph. One of those sins is the sin of pride. Now go to Luke 18 with me and let's look at this. Again, this is a great, great parable given by the Lord in Luke 18. Some of you that know your Bible real well, you may immediately think of what it is. But Luke 18 in verse 9, Jesus gives this parable, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He points his finger at this guy. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast and said what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amazing parable, isn't it? And you would think that this man that was righteous, a Pharisee, had all the answers. But the little old lonely guy in the back didn't even lift his eyes up but said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know, that's all that God wants. He doesn't want this eloquent prayer stretched out, oh God, oh God. No, simple repentance, right? Simple confession to him. Okay, so then notice the next paragraph there, Solomon. Solomon speaks of pride as conceit. He's one who is quite pleased with himself is what it means. Notice these verses, Proverbs 18:11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and in high wall his own conceit. Proverbs 26:5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Again, 26 verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. And 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason. Isn't that like our society today? I was pastoring in another church as an assistant pastor, and I had this one fella. He's about maybe a little younger than me. But he had all kinds of problems. He had drug problems and everything else, and he was really struggling. And I said, well, what's going on? He said, I just keep struggling with the drugs and addiction, and I have bad friends keep coming over to my house, and I'm struggling. And I said, well, what have you been doing all day? He says, well, nothing. I said, you don't have a job? He says, no, I have disability. I said, at your age, you have disability? He said, yeah, he went through the whole thing. And I said, well, you got to be careful. You know, idleness is the devil's workshop. You know, you sit around, twiddle your thumbs, you're going to get into trouble. Get yourself busy. Oh, yeah, I know, Brother Tim, I know. What happened 2 weeks later? Right back into drugs, back into the meth and the heroin and other stuff. And came back, oh, I messed up. Pray for me. And I did. I tried to be kind and sweet as I could. But again, just wasting time. That's what he says, right? The sluggard, don't care. He's wiser in his own conceit. I got my own reasons. Talking again about the pride here. Okay, notice Proverbs 28:11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. The poor that hath understanding searcheth them out. Okay, so the Lord has a special disgust for that kind of proud person. Proverbs 16:5 says, let everyone that is proud in heart, everyone that is a proud in heart, is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You ever think about that? Well, how come certain people never get punished? You know. And we as Christians, man, we got to walk on eggshells sometimes. Well, I don't want the Lord to get mad. And these people live in just outward, sinful, nasty behavior. He says, don't worry. Though hand join in hand, they won't be unpunished. God will take care of business. He's going to take care of it. Okay? Now, knowing that, pride tops his list of hated things. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination. What's the first one? A proud look. Proud look. So pride does have a good sense when it is. Notice, a proper sense of personal dignity and worth, or honorable self-respect. Now, you have self-respect and you're honorable and have dignity, right? That we must be careful. He doesn't condemn that. He's condemning, notice, it is that undue sense of one's own superiority. It's an inordinate self-esteem or arrogance and conceit. This is what God hates. And Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By the way, you ought to read a Proverbs a day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. You probably know this. 31 chapters in Proverbs. You read one chapter every day of the month. And it'll help you. Boy, it's helped me. I've done it for many years, and I keep thinking, boy, I've read this 1,000 times. And every time I read it, it convicts me. And I go, gee, man, right? Reading it. Now, let's see here. Proverbs 8:13, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, forward mouth do I hate. It is a sin against God to be proud. We know Proverbs 21:4, high look, proud heart, plowing of the wicked is sin. Okay, so kind of an overemphasis there, but the book of Proverbs really, really emphasizes this hatred that God has of pride. By the way, people say, oh, you shouldn't hate. You shouldn't say the word hate. You shouldn't hate things. That's not true. Okay, God hates things, certain things. He's angry with the wicked every day. And the reason why people can't figure out why they keep having all these stumbles and problems and issues and can never get over a certain step in their life, why? Proverbs says, evil pursues sinners. It's going after you like a heat-seeking missile, evil, because you're sinful. Get rid of that stuff and live for the Lord, and you see a whole new world. Okay, one, no, notice this. Pride is at the root of the first sin. Oh, this is cool. I love this. Go to Ezekiel 28 with me. You're going to see something here if you've never studied this before. We looked at some of this in our Bible Institute, but this is really interesting. Ezekiel 28. Now, he's going to describe for us in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, we'll look at it in a minute, the fall of Lucifer. Now, Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, saying to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, hang on a second. There were four people in Eden. There was God, Adam, Eve, and who else? Satan. Who's he talking to here? Okay, we have to understand. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, the jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Remember, Satan's a created being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Notice and underline this, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Very interesting, isn't it? Now remember this, you're on the winning side. These foolish, fool people that are Satan worshipers or declare that Satan is their God, they're stupid. Pardon my French. Because the end of it is what? They're going to all be cast into hell. We're on the winning side, okay? Remember that. Praise God for that. But notice this, letter A, Lucifer allowed his beauty to go to his head. That's pride. Now, go to Isaiah 14. Okay, now let's look at this one. And by the way, cross-reference in your Bible, make little notations there at Isaiah 14. Put in there Ezekiel 28 and vice versa. It'll really help you. Now notice Isaiah 14, verse 12, if you will. How art thou fallen? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of... You notice what he's saying? I will, I will, I will. It's all about him. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. No, you won't. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee, notice, shall narrowly look upon thee. That means they're going to squint their eyes. And they're going to say what? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, to shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? You know what we're going to say when we see Satan in that day? We're going to look and go, that's him? Now, he's very beautiful. We know that. He's this angelic, beautiful thing. And that's why Paul warns the church in 2 Corinthians. He says what? Be careful, because Satan and his ministers transform themselves into the angels of light. People say, oh, I saw a light. I saw the light. I saw an angelic being. Be careful. It could be Satan. Now, so we come back. We're going to look at him and go, that's Satan. I often think of him, you know, as you do. Red, pitchfork, pointy tail, pointy, big sharp teeth, nasty, smelly. He's not. He's an angelic being. He's beautiful. And that's what he says. Now, Lucifer allowed his beauty to go to his head, but Lucifer also, he coveted what was only God's. He says, I'll make myself like the Most High. No, you won't. If you study that today, there's many people that are impersonating Jesus Christ. There's a man in Brazil, as I said before, but he impersonates Jesus. He says, I am Jesus incarnate. And they hold him up and carry him around on a big platform and stuff like this. There's another guy in Ukraine, I think it is. Yeah, Ukraine. He's the same thing, grew his hair out real long. There's a guy, I think, in Australia. You can look these up. He's in Australia, I think it is. Same thing, grew his hair out. And he's very, very effeminate, very calm, you know. And he says, I'm Jesus Christ, reincarnated. And he's got all these people with him. Foolish. If they would pick up a Bible and just read the first three chapters, okay, you're going to find out you are not Jesus Christ, and you'll pay a price for that. The Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So he coveted. Notice letter C, Lucifer rebelled against God, and he led others to follow. The Bible says in Revelation 12 that a third of the angels, a third of them, and we know Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. By the way, be careful who you hang out with. If they're a rebellious person towards the things of God, they will always try and get more people. You see this. I think it was talked about in the Bible Institute the other night about that. When you see it with kids, you know, you get a bunch of kids in a room, the real rebellious kids, they're like magnets to each other. They all congregate over here. How did you find each other? You know, that's how it goes, isn't it? The sweet other kids maybe over here together. You think about that. Be careful about that, because they're going to get you to rebel. They don't like being alone, okay? Get you some good, faithful friends like here at church. Amen. Okay. Lucifer rebelled. Number two, though, notice pride is the cause of much misery. Oh, that's for us. Psalm 12:3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaketh proud things. I think about what Satan could have been, what Lucifer could have been if he hadn't have done that. Can you imagine? But look where he is today. He knows the Bible better than you do, and he knows his expected end. So what's he doing? He knows he's damned. So what's he going to do? Try and get everyone he can to come with him to hell. And to you as Christians, I said Sunday, his goal is to kill us and take us off this earth. Why? Because we talk about Christ to people. We say, why don't you come to church with me? Why don't you get saved? He doesn't want you to do that. But the Lord won't allow him to take your life. Okay, that's why we must be very cautious and careful and pray every day, Lord, keep your hedge about me and protect me. So anyways, thinking about that. Okay, now, Psalm 101:5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, privily, that means privately, that means secretively. You slander your friend, your neighbor. Him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look, a proud heart, will not I suffer. So it's a cause of much misery for us. That contention comes. Again, Proverbs 13, only by pride cometh contention. The well advised is wisdom. Proverbs also says a soft answer turneth away evil or wrath or problems. It's hard to do. Easy to say, hard to do. Proverbs 28:25, his proud heart stirreth up strife. Putteth his trust in the Lord, shall be made fat or plenteous or bountiful, blessed. Not only contention, resistance from God. You don't want to have resistance from God. It's a bad day for you and for me. James 4:6, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older or elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace to the humble. In Psalm 12:3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaketh proud things. And we saw that verse already, 101 verse 5. But that's truly what he says. Every mouth shall be stopped. When we all come into contact with Jesus Christ on that great day, the Bible says every mouth will be stopped. That means everyone will shut their mouth. They'll even try to say something, but they can't say it. And every time you see that, there's a pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament called a theophany, and in the New Testament it's called a Christophany, when you see a reappearance of Christ. Every time they do, you don't see people mouthing off. What do? They're always on their face, out of utter fear. Utter fear. I mean, just an awesome fear of a holy, powerful God. And that's what he's talking about. We don't want the resistance from God. We come to a humility. That's what happens if we allow God to have his work. The shame comes. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. The Lord must humble the proud. We know that. And the humbled are put to shame. Destruction and downfall. The Proverbs 15:25, again, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. He'll establish the border of the widow. And pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. He loveth transgression, loveth strife. Okay, I'll let you read some of those. I like Obadiah 3. He says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Right? You exalt yourself as an eagle. You will be brought down. You know what? Who's deceived the most with pride is me. Everyone sees right through it. You know, walk into a room, well, everyone probably thinks that I'm... No, they don't. They see right through you, right? The only one deceived is you, the one with pride, and talking about that. Again, we must be very careful. Just being transparent as we can. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a phenomenal example of this to us. If you've never read the book of Daniel, again, I encourage you to study that book. Very, very fascinating. He learned this the hard way in Daniel 3, verse 37. It says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to obey. So I'm glad you said that, because Daniel 5:20 says, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from it. So he started out real well. And God will humble the proud. Yes, and later on he lived up and completely blew it. So we see here that it's the destruction and downfall of most people, and for me especially, I know that. The pride can destroy us. The pride can bring shame, resistance from God, contention and strife, and all of those things. Number three, though, notice the pride is cured by humility. Okay, we know that. Psalm 138, verse 6, notice that. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. I said this before, and you know this, but I think a lot of big, phenomenal theological pastors and preachers that, you know, lead these thousand congregations, they're going to take a back seat to a little nursery worker in heaven. I really believe that. They're going to take a back seat to a little janitor or some little old widow in the church, right? Aren't they? Oh, I'm a great pastor. I'm this great theological... No, you're not. that little widow in the church did much more than you did. Now, thinking about that, it's cured by the humility in Proverbs 16:19. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So we must what? Take a right attitude toward ourselves or toward yourself. Romans 12:3. Remember, Romans 12, he talks about submitting ourselves, presenting ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. He says in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." There's that sobriety again. Sobriety, not just from alcohol and drugs and what we often think about, but you and I can be inoculated or inebriated by entertainment, if you're like me. Again, I'm sitting there going, how long was that basketball game? 3 hours? What? You know. Or you sit down ever and thumb through your phone? I mean, which one is it? Instagram or something has the reels or something? You thumb through that thing? Be careful. That stuff, some of that stuff ain't good. I was thumbing through Marketplace the other night, you know, looking at RVs and trucks and motorcycles. Man, this is awesome, you know. I don't know if you guys do. And it was like 2 hours later, and I'm like, what happened here? I'm just confessing tonight, okay? And we have an altar now. Anybody else want to come forward and confess? Anyways, you say you first, Tim. Yeah, I know. Okay, sober-mindedness, being sober. Again, the greatest tool to bring sobriety to your life is the book. Okay, get in the book. Spend time in the book. Amen and amen. Okay. We take the right attitude towards ourselves. Number one, outside of Jesus Christ, you and I are reprobates. Okay? A reprobate. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Okay, take an examination of yourself. Don't have to always have someone else tell you whether you be in the faith. Are you in the faith? Are you saved? Prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Okay, literally rejected by God. Okay, reprobate. You don't want to go there. So he says, examine yourself. Are you saved? Are you sure of that? And for some of us, I believe everyone's saved, but I don't know that. And make sure of that. And you be sure of that. We don't know what's on tomorrow. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. Some of you deal with big equipment. Some of you deal with other things. I don't know what the age you're at. Just being careful about that. Are you sure if you were to die tonight or tomorrow, you know where you're going? Okay, that's my responsibility to say that. Number two, in Christ, you are a child of God. We know it's 1 Corinthians 1:30. I'm talking about the cure for the pride. You understanding you're a child of God, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Everything we have is of Jesus, and by him and from him. Humble ourselves then, we know that. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And 1 Peter 5 is phenomenal. I love it. He says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. To humble yourself means to make low, to level, reduce to a plane, to assign a lower rank or place, to have a modest opinion of oneself, to behave in an unassuming manner, devoid of all haughtiness. Okay, thinking about that. Okay, last page then. You heard the story of a private first class in the Revolutionary War, and he was riding along, and his cart wheel broke. So he was down in the mud and muck trying to change the wheel off the cart. Here came a guy on a horse, and he said, "Sir, do you need any help?" And he looked up and said, "No, I got this." He says, "Well, I know how to fix those. I actually make those wheels." He said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Well, I guess if you want to help." So the guy got down, he got a really nice military outfit on. Well, he got down in the mud. His boots got all dirty and everything. He helped the guy fix it all and dusted his hands off. And he said, "I'm a private first class," and real pompous, you know. He said, "By the way, what is your name that I can recommend you to the authorities?" He said, "Oh, my name is Washington, George Washington." He said, oh, yes, sir, I'm sorry. The humility there, right? Okay, lastly, beware of false humility. Take responsibility for the gifts God's entrusted to you. Praise God. I appreciate all of you here tonight, because every one of you have really, I don't even ask you, you just show up and you immediately do something. Man, thank you. But develop and use your gifts for the glory of God, okay? Stop always defending ourselves or yourself. When someone criticizes you, find out the cause. Boy, that's hard to do. When someone attacks you, allow Christ to defend you. Right? Give all honor to Jesus Christ. When someone praises you, give it to Christ. When someone praises you, just say thank you, simple thank you. Wait, lastly, for God to exalt you. Okay. And again, Isaiah 57:15 will close out here. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite one. So you think about that verse, the high and lofty one, who's above all in control of everything. And he says what? I dwell with the humble. The humble. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things that mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's amazing, isn't it? You want to get the heart of God? You want to get God to do things for you? In a very, obviously being very reverent, but God to answer your prayer, do things for you. Robert Murray McShane made a statement one time, and he said, a holy man or woman of God, a truly holy person, is an awful weapon in the hand of God. And it's awful. They're a weapon that you don't want to mess with. Why? Because they'll do whatever God tells them to do. And God can use them in that way. Amazing, isn't it? And we saw in James 4 and in 1 Peter 5 already. Okay? So again, we see that God hates the pride. He cannot be saved unless you humble yourself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot please the Lord in your life after you're saved until you're willing to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Okay, now as we see that, and the first thing that I always share with people is I hand them a gospel tract and I say, hey, I want to invite you to our church sometime. Can I give you an invitation? And they look at the front and says, you're invited. Oh, yeah, that's fine, fine, fine. If they're kind of a little bit more open, I'll always say this. And on the back, there's some Bible verses on there. If you wanted to read those, make sure you read those. Oh, okay, okay. Most people just say, oh, okay, thank you, just to get me away from them. You know, don't bother me. I don't like those religious people. But if they're kind of open to it, I always say, well, do you have any time I could share some of those verses with you? Only take about 5-10 minutes. Yeah, sure. Had one lady say that. Yeah, sure. I said, you go to church anywhere? She's like, well, I used to. I said, well, do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? She said, well, you know, I've been thinking about that. I thought I did. I got to share. But notice what the first one on here says. Recognize your condition. People don't want to hear that. I used to say, well, do you know, first step is you must admit that you're a sinner. People go, I'm not a sinner. What are you calling me a sinner for? They get real defensive. And now I like this wording better. Recognize your condition. You know. And the first step is what? To recognize that without Christ, you are separated from a holy, righteous God and a sinful man. And between you two is something called enmity. And what's going to bridge the gap? Your works and how you clean yourself up? Absolutely not. You can never clean yourself up to get to a holy and righteous God. It's not good enough. And Isaiah 64 says our righteousness is, the things we do right, are as filthy rags in the sight of God because of his holiness. So what bridges the gap? Jesus Christ on the cross, the sinless Son of God, the only one that could die for us and pay the penalty and all the wrath would be poured out upon this person. It would be someone who was sinless, no sin. And there's only one person who ever was, and that's Jesus Christ. And so he bridged the gap for us. He's our propitiation. He's our advocate. He's our go-between. It's amazing to think about. But the first step is what? To humble ourselves and say, you know what? I admit I can't save myself. I have to have him save me. Okay? So again, our pursuit of perfection, coming back to that. You can be complete in Christ if we follow these simple steps through the Word of God. Are you complete in him? I hope you are. All right? I'll stop there tonight. Thank you again for listening and coming on our midweek service. I know it's tough. Most of you are very tired, had a long day, but I do appreciate you being here, and I thank you for that. Okay? Take these notes home, if you would. Study these verses for yourself, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. All right? Well, Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday, I think. We don't have anything in between, do we? We're going to work on this week. The next couple of days, Lord willing, we're going to work on painting this and getting this painted and getting it a little bit nicer for Miss Stephanie. Miss Stephanie, I know I'm sorry that we don't have it as nice as we want to get it yet. We're going to get it as best we can. But you don't mind, right? You know, she don't mind. Amen. She's so easygoing with that. I appreciate that. Okay? Pray for us if we do that. If you have some free time, call me or text me, say, you need any help? And I'll probably say yes, okay? But anyways, thanks for coming. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. Just, I'm grateful to be around God's people. I feel recharged by being here tonight, and I thank you for that. I pray you'd help us the rest of our week. I pray you'd protect our people, especially. We know the adversary's against us and everything we do. I pray you'd protect our children. Be with them, God. I'm so grateful for them and their sweet spirit. And they bring a smile to my face as I listen to what they're saying. And I thank you. I just pray that you'd watch over us now. Be with us. Help us in our pursuit of perfection to do all things that please you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.